98.9 WGBW Denmark. Green Bay's real news and great conversation. A civic media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. California wildfires. I'm Richard Cantu.
We have experienced a tremendous tragedy here in our community.
That is Pasadena Mayor Victor Gordo. There are five separate wildfires burning in Los Angeles County, and this one has been deadly.
To date, we have over 100,000 people under mandatory evacuation. We've had five fatalities, and then we have close to another 100,000 people who have been warned to evacuate because they are in a danger zone.
Sheriff Robert Luna on what an evacuation warning means.
Leave. If you're under an evacuation warning, get everything ready and be ready to go because those winds start blowing. This is so unpredictable, and we don't want anyone else to get hurt.
This is ABC News. Seems not being a member of Congress has been a pretty lucrative business opportunity for this disgraced former member.
Hey, Luke, it's George Santos.
He was kicked out of Congress for ethics violations, but since then, George Santos has made $400,000 selling personalized videos on Cameo.
Hey, Tyler, it's George Santos. Just stopping by.
He made another $400K for participating in a documentary, according to federal prosecutors, who are asking a judge to deny Santos's request to delay next month's sentencing in his fraud case. As a part of his plea, he agreed to pay about $600,000 in forfeiture and restitution, money he now claims he doesn't have. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
A court hearing in Minneapolis for 77-year-old Jerry Hal Seliterman has been postponed. He was supposed to plead guilty to hiding a stolen pair of ruby slippers Judy Garland wore in The Wizard of Oz, but his lawyer says the 77-year-old is hospitalized. Sentencing postponed indefinitely. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When it comes to my lifestyle and diet, I don't always make the smartest choices.
Touchdown! Woo! Hey, how about another round and some more chips?
But when it comes to taking care of my liver, I do make one very smart choice. Active Liver Tablets from New Nordic. I used to have real issues with my liver, and at my last checkup, my doc was concerned about my numbers. But since adding a once-a-day active liver tablet, my gut's better, I feel great, and my doctor's happy. I ask a lot of my liver, so the least I can do to say thanks is a daily dose of active liver.
You ask a lot of your liver, so give it the support it needs with active liver. You can find active liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, visit NewNordicUSA.com. Go to New, NordicUSA.com. Amazon, or ask for active liver at your local CVS. New year, new you, new Nordic.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Marquette wins again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles with a comeback win in Milwaukee over the Georgetown Hoyas. Final score 74-66. Head coach Shaka Smart.
We get down 14. We're not shooting the ball well. The zone stymied us to some extent. It would have been easy for us to get bummed out. And I thought our guys did a great job collecting each other, helping each other. Have the spirit that we needed to have to win the game.
NBA, the Bucks host the San Antonio Spurs tonight at Five Sir Forum. Former Marquette star Jimmy Butler says he wants out of Miami, but doesn't want the Heat to trade him to Milwaukee. NFL wildcard playoffs this weekend, the Packers and the Eagles Sunday at 3:30. Matt LaFleur on one of the things that stands out about Philadelphia.
I just feel like the defense is, I mean, they're humming right now. It's a very talented defense. You can tell that they've got everybody on the same page. They got superstars on every level of the defense.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Golden Globes kicked off award season Sunday night. It was good news for the entertainment world as ratings were up across the board, including broadcast TV, social media, and streaming, despite the fact that the Globes were up against Sunday Night Football. Network TV reported that ratings were up 50% from the broadcast in 2023. The ceremony also produced 40 million social media impressions, which were more than the 2024 Oscars and Grammys had combined. Streaming ratings were up 9%. Post Malone performed with Beyonce during the NFL NFL halftime show on Christmas Day in Houston. The night before, he was hanging at a bar called The Rail Yard with Shibuzi. That was a fun sentence to say. Malone met bartender Renee Brown, a single mom upset that she was working Christmas Eve for the first time instead of home making cookies and watching Christmas movies with her 9-year-old daughter. Her night picked up when Malone left her a $20,000 tip. Being more than 15% is so gauche. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, lows 5 to 10 above. And we'll look for sunshine tomorrow morning, increasing clouds in the afternoon. High upper 20s. Scattered flurries and a few snow showers tomorrow night into early Friday. Then clearing Friday afternoon, a high in the upper 20s. Currently, it's 12 degrees.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, will discuss the president-elect's appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And will AG Merrick Garland release Jack Smith's J6 report unredacted? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Tubes in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This episode of Minneapolis Air, American Indian Relations on Native Roots Radio, is supported by the City of Minneapolis.
That's right. And Minneapolis is the home of the largest urban Native American population in the country. And we're thankful for these updates from the American Indian Community Specialist, Christine McDonald. And I want to just hand over the show. Here's guest host, Christine McDonald. Welcome. Ho-wa.
Thank you. Bonjour, Ogadaki, Gabawik, Nindijnika, Sajishak, Nindindem. I am Christine McDonald. I'm the American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis, and I'm your guest host tonight for Native Roots Radio, Minneapolis American Indian Relations. Thank you for bringing us back this year. This is the first show of our second year. I really appreciate this relationship. I appreciate the work that you guys do. And we're going to jump right into our conversation today. The City of Minneapolis's annual Community Connections Conference is coming up on February 8th, 2025. And this year's theme is Participation is Power, Speak Out, Take Action, and Grow. You can come and meet municipal leaders, enjoy a fun and free conference, and learn about opportunities you can use to make a difference in your community, like the Partnership Engagement Fund, which we'll highlight tonight. So let's get into our conversations, and we will start with Rebecca. Can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and what you do for the city?
Yeah, bonjour, and thank you for having me, Christine. So I'm one of the Community Connections Conference organizers. I've been with Neighborhood and Community Relations Department at the City of Minneapolis for going on 8 years now. This will be my 7th conference. And before joining the City of Minneapolis, I used to run an adult education program with an organization called the Latino Economic Development Center. So I'm really familiar with Southside and try to do my best to make sure that we're getting the word out about our conference and other community engagement opportunities in my old neighborhood. And thanks for having us.
Thank you. Araya, could you tell us more about yourself and what you do for the city?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. My name is Araya Fine. I am a neighborhood specialist here at Neighborhood and Community Relations. I've been here just a little longer than Rebecca, for a little over 8 years. And my role is to support our 68 neighborhood organizations now. And also the thing I'm talking about tonight, our community-based programs in our Partnership Engagement Fund. Before working at the city, I actually worked for a neighborhood, the Cleveland neighborhood in North Minneapolis, for about 8 years, and was on a neighborhood board before that. So the neighborhood and community organizing work is really a passion and a thing that I've been involved in for a long time. And I'm really happy to be here sharing about some of the stuff we're funding through the Partnership Engagement Fund.
Thank you. One little question, though. So you mentioned that there are like 68 organizations. It's my understanding that like we hit a milestone for the city in our neighborhood work. Can you tell us what that is?
There's two things that happen. So no matter where you live in the city of Minneapolis, there is a neighborhood organization that represents you. That is not that neighborhood funding from the city started in 1991. So well over 30 years. But there's been a couple areas, university area near the University of Minnesota, mm-hmm. That has historically not had a neighborhood organization sort of representing that geography. And then more recently, another neighborhood in Northeast that has just struggled to have an operating neighborhood organization. So our big milestone that you're referencing is mm-hmm. that no matter where you live in the city, there is a neighborhood organization that represents that area. So there's 68 organizations. There's a few more neighborhoods, a little over 80 separate individual neighborhoods, and some neighborhood organizations represent three or four neighborhood geographies in Minneapolis.
All right, thank you. I just want to make sure that we said that out loud, because that's pretty cool, and I think it's a great milestone that we've reached. So let's go, Rebecca, can you tell us what exactly is the Community Connections Conference?
Yeah, the Community Connections Conference is a fun, free event that the City of Minneapolis organizes every year. This year, it will be on February 8th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the first floor of the Convention Center in downtown Minneapolis. And we invite people who are living, working, or studying in Minneapolis to stop by and to meet with local organizations, meet their neighbors, find new ways to get involved, and meet with local leaders. And it's a great place to connect with people behind the city departments that perform city services that we all need in our day-to-day life in like a fun, low stress, welcoming environment. And we'll also have lots of ways that you can get involved in city projects and learn how you can influence the way that planning and decision-making is made in the city. The event itself has a lot of great things like a community resource fair with over 100 organizations and departments and public institutions. And it has a lot of interesting workshops on topics of interest to the community, which I can get into more detail on. But we'll also have fun activities for kids. There'll be music and dance and a cool scavenger hunt activity where people can win a prize after they do a couple little side quest activities. And lunch is included, and of course, lots of opportunities to get involved in city decision making, which is what we're hoping to be the main draw.
Can you tell us why does the city organize this event?
Yeah, so the Connections Conference, especially this year, now more than ever, it's important for all of us to strengthen our connections with our neighbors and with our communities, and to meet and like get to know our city and local leaders, and learn how that everyone can have an influence on what happens in local government, and even like propose new ways to strengthen communities and get involved in local decision making, which Araya can talk more about with Partnership Engagement Fund. But we believe that all communities should feel welcome in city spaces, and that it should be easy for everyone to get involved and not like complicated and scary to get involved with government. We think all communities should be able to get information about the programs and policies that affect them in a language that's understandable and not like legalese. Mm-hmm. And our goal with this event is to invite in everyone, to make sure that we're inviting people in who are not often represented in the local decision-making process, and at least show them the ways that you can get involved mm-hmm. in a fun way. So that's why our theme this year is Participation is Power, Speak, Act, Grow. And when we say speak, we're talking about speaking up in decision-making processes and taking action by voting, joining a neighborhood organization board, or even joining one of the city council and mayor's advisory boards. and learn, growing by learning new things that you can use in your community.
Beautiful. What do you mean when you say getting involved and participating? What is that?
So like getting involved and participating can mean a couple different things. So some of the ones that we particularly want to highlight at this year's event is things like knowing how and when and why to contact your city council member or the mayor. Like, do you know which ward you live in? Do you know what can happen after you call your city council member? Like, how do you know that they're working on it? And what's the difference between calling a city council member and calling like the city information, the calling 311 for help with an issue? We'll also talk about like speaking at public hearings. So like when the city is thinking about making a new rule or making a new like project, they might invite people to come and speak on the record while the city council is debating some new ordinance. You can sign up or you can like email in comments. There's a lot of ways that you can make your voice heard officially during rulemaking processes. We'll be talking about ways that you can send in your opinions on things like street safety redesign or like what kinds of health issues should the city be focusing on for the next 3 years. That's just like
those are amazing. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Minneapolis Air, American Indian Relations on Native Roots Radio.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
A home that needs new everything, plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
End-of-life decisions are not easy to make. Hi, I'm Mary T. of Mary T. Hospice Care. It's important to make sure that this difficult time is meaningful and comforting to you and your loved ones. Our hospice team provides an individualized program of physical, emotional, spiritual, and practical care so your loved one is comfortable and not in pain. At Mary T. Hospice, we understand that choosing the right hospice care provider can be overwhelming, but we're here to assist you. Learn more today at MaryTInc.com.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This episode of Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations on Native Roots Radio is supported by the City of Minneapolis. And here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Thank you. Welcome back. I'm Christine McDonald, American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis. Joining us tonight, we are talking with Rebecca Tiedrick, who is one of the Community Connections Conference organizers with the city, and Araya Fine, who is organizing the Partnership Engagement Fund. Both are with the Neighborhood and Community Relations Department. Before our break, we were talking about what it means to get involved in decision-making and participating in the public process. So let's go right back to Rebecca. You had started talking about some of the things like getting to know your council members, speaking at public hearings. What are some of the other ways that people are able to get involved? What does it mean getting involved and participating in the public process?
Yeah, Another way that we invite members of the public to really influence the decision making that policymakers make at the city is also by having an open appointed boards and commissions process. So what that is we every spring and every fall invite people to sit on a board or commission about a specific issue that's important to them. And then when policies are being made, those groups can make recommendations about things that should be considered. And I can get into more detail about some of the like plans and ordinances that those groups have influenced. But yeah, every spring and fall are opportunities to sign up to sit on one of those councils. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a lot of information about that at the Community Connections Conference on February 8th. Besides those official boards and commissions with the city, there's also, which Araya can talk more about, there's also those 68 neighborhood organizations mm-hmm. that get funding for the city for projects in those neighborhoods. And you get to decide like what happens with city resources in your local community directly that way. And you could also, obviously, let's not forget voting as an important way to participate, and probably one of the most consequential ways of participating. We actually do have an election this year on November 4th for mayor, city council, park board, and the board of estimate and taxation. So make sure that you are registered to vote, and we'll have elections and voter services there. Like, did you know that you could sign up to always have your ballot mailed to you? Mm-hmm. You don't have to remember to request it every year. That's new. So you can find out information about that.
I'm pretty sure we'll also have Make Voting a Tradition at our conference. They are one of the registered exhibitors this year. They've actually been coming for a few years, and they work with out of our community-based organization, Native American Community Development Institute. So they'll also be doing voting engagement work and taking voter registration on the spot as well. So that's exciting. Can you tell us more about the city and neighborhood boards?
Absolutely. So I was mentioning some of the committees that you could sign up for would be on focusing on different hot button issues. So a couple examples could include a committee on aging. There's one on housing, on disabilities, bicycles, pedestrians, workers in the workplace, the environment, police oversight, and public health are just a couple. And there's like 50 of these groups. So you can take a look at minneapolismn.gov/boards if you want to see mm-hmm. a full list. And those applications will be open on February 8th. Actually, I think they're opening sometime in January, but check out the city website or come to our conference. Oh, I have to remember one thing, minneapolismn.gov/CCC. But some of the policies that those groups have contributed to in the past have been things like renter protections mm-hmm. and anti-wage theft protections, our city paid sick time ordinance, and bicycle safety improvements are a couple significant ones. Then neighborhood boards, as Ryan and I mentioned earlier, they direct how like city funding directed at neighborhoods gets used, and they do elections to pick who gets on the board, and they all have their own different date for when they're going to do elections, and they have different like deadlines for when you should like submit that you want to be a candidate, but you can find some information, at least links to all the different neighborhoods, and see which one you live near at minneapolismn.gov, and then just like search for the term neighborhood organizations. Then every year they also do an event called Neighborhood Day. And that's when at least a couple of them or a large group of them decide to use that day to do their neighborhood elections. It's always the second Saturday in May, and this year it will be the second Saturday. It'll be May 10th.
It'll actually be May 3rd. Sorry. News information right now. Yeah.
Shifted to the first Let's Saturday. And, yeah.
And feed recognition. I'll just jump in here because I work with the neighborhood organizations.
Yeah.
The second Sunday is always Mother's Day, and in recognition from feedback we received, we shifted, and it'll be the first Saturday, May 3rd this year. And it's, as Rebecca mentioned, it's a really good opportunity to find out what neighborhood you live in and participate in an activity. Most neighborhoods will have something going on that day. Some might have their actual leadership elections or board mm-hmm. elections, but Most neighborhoods will have something going on. It's a great chance to just find out what's happening in your particular neighborhood.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I hope people take that opportunity to get involved in the neighborhood organization. It is like a first level opportunity to be a part of that public process, considering that the city, that's where the city has a heavy investment in having those neighborhood organizations do engagement work with those people that live in their neighborhoods. Let's see. So Rebecca, what can people expect to see at this Community Connections Conference?
Many exciting things. So over 100 booths are signed up so far, and I'll be in Exhibit Hall E at the Minneapolis Convention Center, first floor, downtown Minneapolis, starting at 9 a.m. That's when our check-in opens and all of our exhibits will be set up. Can grab a coffee, have a snappy hour, walk around, meet new people, ask them what brought them to the conference, find volunteer opportunities and job opportunities. Some of the cool things that will be in the hall this year include free career trainings, free assistance to start a business, how to become a United States citizen and free assistance to become a United States citizen, information about recovery for opioid addiction. We'll have mental health resources and lots of volunteer opportunities. The booths where you can learn about internships at the city of Minneapolis, both jobs and internships. And also there's jobs from the state of Minnesota and Hennepin County and a couple other organizations will be there with job opportunities. There'll also be how to start a career in a green industry. And the city council will have their booth in addition to a workshop about like reaching out to city council and following decision-making processes in city council and the city. We'll also have the elections department will be there and you can find out about like ranked choice voting and all those other things that I mentioned early. Like we have a lot of early vote centers that we set up for our elections. It's a little different from other states. So you don't always have to go to the specific early vote center. You could go to some like community locations. We'll have things, fun things for kids, including pickleball, which is like, if anyone's not familiar with pickleball, it's like tennis with a small plastic ball. It's fun.
Yeah, that's hosted by the Minneapolis American Indian Center. Yep.
Yeah, they'll be partnering with us this year, American Indian Center. We'll have a fire truck from the fire department for kids to explore. And of course, the scavenger hunt. You can see the full list at our website, minneapolismn.gov/CCC. And we'll be updating it constantly because we still have our exhibitor registration open through January 19th. So organizations that do things for the community that have to do with participation is power and getting people involved in local decision-making, you're welcome to apply for a free booth space. That's also on our website, minneapolismn.gov/CCC. Besides the exhibit hall, we'll have an opening ceremony with a couple performances. And if you've ever come to the conference before, you see a lot of really amazing performances from different communities. Like we've had fancy shawl dances and jingle dress in the past. And we've had Mexica dancing and Somali Museum has been here before. It's really great opening ceremony. After the opening ceremony, we'll start our workshops. And our workshops will include a lot of really interesting topics, like we have planned a Narcan training. We have a Stop the Bleed training prepared. We'll have things like knowing your rights as a renter. And we'll also have funding opportunities for community projects. So that will be Araya's workshop, which she can talk more about. Then we'll also have learning to get involved with city council, latest news and resources about immigration, and resources from nonprofit legal offices that work in immigration law, and also lots of workshops planned around environmental causes and environmental justice.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. This is a special report from ABC News. California wildfires. I'm Richard Cantu.
We have experienced a tremendous tragedy here in our community.
That is Pasadena Mayor Victor Gordo. There are five separate wildfires burning in Los Angeles County, and this one has been deadly.
To date, we have over 100,000 people under mandatory evacuation. We've had five fatalities, and then we have close to another 100,000 people who have been warned to evacuate because they are in a danger zone.
Sheriff Robert Luna on what an evacuation warning means.
Leave. If you're under an evacuation warning, get everything ready and be ready to go because those winds start blowing. This is so unpredictable, and we don't want anyone else to get hurt.
This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Marquette wins again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles with a comeback win in Milwaukee over the Georgetown Hoyas. Final score 74-66. Head coach Shaka Smart.
We get down 14. We're not shooting the ball well. The zone stymied us to some extent. It would have been easy for us to get bummed out, and I thought our guys did a great job collecting each other, helping each other. Have the spirit that we needed to have to win the game.
NBA, the Bucks host the San Antonio Spurs tonight at Fiserv Forum. Former Marquette star Jimmy Butler says he wants out of Miami, but doesn't want the Heat to trade him to Milwaukee. NFL wildcard playoffs this weekend, the Packers and the Eagles Sunday at 3:30. Matt LaFleur on one of the things that stands out about Philadelphia.
I just feel like the defense is, I mean, they're humming right now. It's a very talented defense. You can tell that they've got everybody on the same page. They got superstars on every level of the defense.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Award show season is not only fun if you like award shows, it also can give you excellent suggestions of what you should be watching. On the heels of Sunday night's Golden Globes ceremony, the Screen Actors Guild just announced their nominations. Leading the way in the film category was Wicked with 5 nominations. Not too far behind with 4 nominations was A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan biopic. Let's do a deep dive. One of the cool things about the SAG Awards is that they recognize entire ensembles when it comes to cast. A Complete Unknown and Wicked are both nominated in the category, in addition to Conclave, Anora, and Emilia Perez. Typically, when the movie wins for ensemble cast at the SAG Awards, it more often than not results in a Best Picture win at, wait for it, the Oscars. Cast ensemble has been a category at the SAG Awards since 1995, and Variety reports that in 30 years, only 4 films have won Best Picture at the Oscars that didn't win for Best Ensemble at the SAG Awards. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, lows 5 to 10 above. And we'll look for sunshine tomorrow morning, increasing clouds in the afternoon. High upper 20s. Scattered flurries and a few snow showers tomorrow night into early Friday. Then clearing Friday afternoon, a high in the upper 20s. Currently it's 12 degrees.
Hi, I'm Michael Friedman, CEO of Simple Life Hospitality. Let us take the hassle out of vacation rental property management. We'll maximize your earnings and handle every detail from cleaning to maintenance and repairs. For guests, enjoy a stay that feels like home with hand-selected properties, personal touches like local recommendations, and extras like concierge service that will make your trip unforgettable. Whether you're a homeowner or a traveler, experience the Simple Life. Visit SimpleLifeRentals.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. We'll talk about starting the new year off right with Omar the Pharmacist, and then we will talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion with attorney Roy Evans.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This episode of Minneapolis Air, American Indian Relations on Native Roots Radio, is supported by the City of Minneapolis. And here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Thank you. Welcome back. Tonight, we are talking with Rebecca Tiedrick, who is our Community Connections Conference organizer, and with Uriah Fine, who is organizing and overseeing our Partnership Engagement Fund, both of which are employees of the City of Minneapolis in the Neighborhood and Community Relations Department. And before we went to break, we were talking about a number of the different things that you can see when you join us at the Community Connections Conference that's coming up in February. We had mentioned some of the green environmental climate workshops. In the past, we've had a partnership, or we had coordinated our conference to work alongside with the Green Zone. Can you tell us some of the different green opportunities or Green Zone workshops that we might be able to see at the conference?
So we'll be putting our workshops on the website as they're confirmed. And right now what we're working on is at least one about the different ways to get like funding for environmental improvements and things in your neighborhood. So we'll have that, like the full description, on our website, minneapolismn.gov/CCC, in the very near future. For now, when you sign up, when you pre-register, you can just like mark that you're interested in the environmental topics, and then we'll email everybody who is interested in that topic with the final descriptions. But it'll be a couple different topics.
Great. And then we talked about lunch. One of the things that I want to highlight for us is that we are going to have, like, Powell Grounds will be one of our lunch vendors. And so we'll have Indian tacos, and a reminder that lunch is completely free. And for every year that we've been doing our conference, lunch has always been free. And it's actually been one of the highlights. People talk about the different food choices that they've been able to try. So yeah, we'll have Indian tacos that day. Lunch will be free. Can you tell us, Rebecca, what the afternoon looks like?
After lunch, we're planning to do a large community engagement, community dialogue with everyone. And we're inviting people specifically to talk about what are the health concerns and issues of interest for the community. And we're planning to have city leaders there to just listen and take the feedback to the health department for them to use to apply to their upcoming community health assessment. It's something that cities are required to do to maintain like their health department's status. And it's an important directional document that will like guide what kind of investments the city is gonna make and what kind of programs they should roll out. And the health department will also have a large presence in general at the conference. If you look through our exhibit list, you're going to see about 10 different health department initiatives that are happening. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are really interesting, including the mobile medical unit that was announced recently. If you go to MinneapolisMN.gov and look in the news section, you can read more about the mobile medical unit. And also their opioid response team will be there, among like lots of other really cool topics.
Mm-hmm. So at that conversation, it's my understanding that they will have the opportunity to be in the conversation with some city leadership.
Yes, that is the plan.
Mm-hmm. So in the past, we've done something similar. At this point, we don't know like which council members may show up, but generally we have council members that participate in that conversation. We've had other leadership positions across the city. We've had department heads participate in the afternoon conversation. So it's a really good opportunity to folks to show up and come in and participate in that. Can you, Uriah, what is the Partnership Engagement Fund and how is it involved in the Community Connections Conference?
Muted.
For the Partnership Engagement Fund provides funding for groups of people doing local projects in Minneapolis that are connecting residents to one another and to the city. And that's with this partnership piece is with a partnership with neighborhood organizations. As I mentioned at the beginning, one of my roles is to support our robust sort of network of neighborhood organizations. And the partnership fund is specifically funding for non-neighborhood organizations, other groups that are connecting with residents throughout our city. I'll share just a tiny bit. We've been funding neighborhood organizations for over 30 years. And one of the things we realized is that neighborhood organizations, while great and doing meaningful work in a lot of parts of the city, do not always help and meaningfully connect with all residents. And so the Partnership Engagement Fund is an opportunity to fund, community groups and small nonprofits and community-based organizations doing work that are connecting with our sort of historically underrepresented communities, and also providing an opportunity to get partnership or support from existing neighborhood organizations throughout the city of Minneapolis. We funded an amazing array of different projects. We really believe that the community knows best what is going to help the residents of their community thrive. And so we funded everything from youth mentorship programs to public events, garden infrastructure, civic leadership development. We've done youth peace building projects, resources for our unsheltered neighbors, youth media projects, arts programming, placemaking, a wide range of activities. And the program is the reason we're talking about it today is that we are going to be doing a workshop specifically about getting opportunities to get funding from the city Partnership Engagement Fund, as well as some other ones. We're going to be doing a workshop at the conference on February 8th. And so it's a really good opportunity. If anything I just said sort of sparks your interest, that would be a great workshop to attend, learn more about the Partnership Engagement Fund, and learn about how you can get involved.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. When did the Partnership Engagement Fund start, and why did the city start it?
Yeah, good question. I started to answer that a little bit. It started in 2021. In 2020, we were sort of revamping the neighborhood funding program. Like I said, we've been funding neighborhoods for 30 years. And one of those recognitions was that it has not always done as good a job as we would like in mm-hmm. engaging all of our residents. And so the Partnership Engagement Fund really is focused on engaging individuals and communities that have historically been underrepresented in not in their own communities and not, but in the sort of city government, in sort of our neighborhood organizations, in sort of having a voice in some of these spaces. And so we really want to focus on engagement opportunities and activism in those communities. So we're focusing on and wanting to support projects that are engaging in our Black, Indigenous, communities of color. We want to engage young people, renters. Those are all groups that have maybe not been as represented in neighborhood organizations historically. We started that funding in 2021. Last year was our first sort of, it sort of ramped up starting in 2021. So last year was our first full year of funding. We funded over 40 projects with $1 million in funding throughout the city of Minneapolis. And we'll be able to have the same amount of funding this year. So about 40 mm-hmm. projects that we'll be able to start supporting in 2025 here.
And how can people get involved this year?
Good question. So like I said, the conference would be a really good opportunity. February 8th would be a really good opportunity to learn sort of a lot more in person, have your questions answered. Everybody can visit our website right now, minneapolismn.gov/partnership-fund. Or if you just go to the Minneapolis website, or even just Google Partnership Engagement Fund, Minneapolis, you should be able to pull up our main page. On there, you're going to find our interest form. And we really try to, and I'll talk about this more, but we try to make our application as accessible as possible. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways we do that is we have a really, really simple interest form. If you go on that website right now, we have a form that we're going to ask you to fill out. It takes 2 minutes. The only required fields are your email and or phone number. And that just is helps us get aware of you being interested in applying, and allows us, the city staff, to be proactive in reaching out to you to learn more about your project, to learn if you have any issues in being able to apply, and you know, and some of the process of navigating sort of city process. So the mm-hmm. interest form will also ask about, you know, if you have an idea what your project is, tell us a little bit about it. If you know what part of the city you're doing work in, or you know a neighborhood organization you're partnering with, let us know that. And that all, it just allows us to be able to help you in the application process. So that interest form, which you could fill out right now while I'm talking, is due February 19th. It's the first step in the required step before you complete a yeah. full application. So that is on the website, minneapolismn.gov/ partnership-fund or just Google Partnership Engagement Fund Minneapolis. Okay. Let me, is it okay if I mention a couple other things about the getting involved? So I mentioned that the interest form is that first step, and then the full application with your full idea is due on March 3rd. And then our funding, there's a sort of review process and council approval. Full funding would be started in about July, June or July. We also want to make it accessible. So we allow folks to apply in language. If folks speak a language other than English, you can apply in your own preferred language. We will translate and transcribe that and do the other work. If you are not somebody who likes to type out your ideas, if you really want to be able to speak your ideas, we do audio or video proposals. So we can allow you to either do it yourself, or we can have one of our staff people ask you the questions on audio or video, record that, and then transcribe it for our review process. So we feel that's an important way to make this accessible to the community. And that would be a really good way to get involved. The last thing I want to mention in that, before I give an example, is that if I'm describing something, you're like, this is really cool, I'm really excited you all are doing this, I don't have an idea or a plan to apply for funding, but I want to be a part of it. We really value community reviewers. So our review process is not, we have some city staff involved in it, but we the majority of folks that review these applications are community members like you listening on online or on the radio yourself. And we provide a small stipend and provide lunch for folks who are participating, where you are actually reviewing applications, weighing in on who should receive funding and making a recommendation. And we could use more community reviewers. So if that's something you're of interest to you, same website, you can go online and fill out our little form about the community review panel and be able to get started there as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And then there's going to be a workshop at our Community Connections Conference where you can learn more. So you can either text us at 612-321-8649, or again, that website is minneapolismn.gov/partnership fund.
You got it.
Right on. Hey, we'll be right back. You're listening to Minneapolis Air, American Indian Relations on Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heapa Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
A home that needs new everything. Plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
8 years ago, over 100,000 Minnesotans marched to the state capitol, standing together to defend women's rights, immigrants' rights, queer rights, and justice for all. Now, as our freedoms face new threats under an incoming administration built on oppression and divisiveness, it's time to stand together again. Join the People's March on January 18th at the Minnesota State Capitol. Together, we'll send a clear and unmistakable message. We will not go back. Building on the legacy of the Women's March Minnesota, this year's event will include a march to the Capitol and a rally. You'll connect with Minnesota organizations working to protect our rights. These organizations need your support, not just now, but over the next 4 years and beyond. The weather may be cold, but our commitment is unbreakable. The stakes are too high to stay silent. Let's show the strength of our voices as we fight for Minnesota's future. Again, that's the People's March on Saturday, January 18th at the State Capitol. Details at womensmarchmn.com.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This episode of Minneapolis Air, American Indian Relations on Native Roots Radio, is supported by the City of Minneapolis. And here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us this evening. I'm Christine McDonald, American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis. And the first episode of our second year has been having a conversation with Rebecca Tiedrick, who is the organizer for the Community Connections Conference with the city, and Ariah Fine, who is overseeing the Partnership Engagement Fund. Before we went to break, we were hearing from Ariah about the Partnership Engagement Fund. I was wondering, can you share with us, do we have any examples or the projects that were funded specifically relating to the American Indian community?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. We have a project that took place in the Little Earth, with the Little Earth Resident Association in 2021 to construct a gathering center at the Little Earth Urban Farm. That gathering space became an outdoor space where Little Earth and East Phillips communities, so East Phillips is both a neighborhood that where it's located, and the East Phillips Improvement Coalition is a neighborhood organization in that area, came together to prepare and can continue to come together to prepare and share foods from the urban farm. That is created a gathering space. The project provides Little Earth residents with an increased sense of safety, raised a neighborhood awareness of the urban farm's activities and crops, including the four sacred medicines grown in the urban farm, sage, sweetgrass, cedar, and tobacco. And it fostered, from the feedback we got, it fostered a greater sense of pride within the community. So that would be a good example of, the type of project that we've been able to fund that we don't fund as many, but that's an example of sort of more of an infrastructure, something that an investment in the community for sort of long-term benefit for community residents.
Cool. Thank you. So again, if you have a project that you want to propose for the Partnership Engagement Fund, MinneapolisMN.gov/partnership fund, you can send a text to 612-321-8649. And you can also, if you are interested in assisting in another way and being a community reviewer for the applications that we receive for the Partnership Engagement Fund, those same ways to connect, apply either the website or that text message. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us tonight, Ariah. And then Rebecca, is there anything else that you want to mention about this conference?
Well, again, you can learn about all these things and take action in your community at the Community Connections Conference on February 8th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Minneapolis Convention Center, downtown, beyond the first floor in Hall E. You can sign up online at MinneapolisMN.gov/CCC. Or you could also register in person on conference day. We're also still looking for volunteers, especially bilingual volunteers. You can still participate in the conference if you volunteer. You're not just stuck volunteering and don't get to go to the workshops or anything. You get to choose like your availability, and you'll get this snazzy t-shirt. The people who are listening can't see it, but it's a very snazzy t-shirt. It's black. It says Community Connections Conference. Got City of Minneapolis in the arm. It's got "You Have Questions" written in a couple languages on the back. And you will also get to help register guests, greet people, give people directions, keep the lunch running smoothly. This year, we want to have volunteers to bring the lunch to elders so they don't have to wait in the line. Mm-hmm. And if you are in high school and you need volunteer hours, this is a great opportunity. And it's a fun Saturday morning, and you get to find out about other job and internship opportunities while you're there. Definitely make sure that you stop by the HR booth to learn about our summer internships through the Urban Scholars Program, which will be opening right around the time of our conference. And we'll also have job opportunities for high schoolers through our Step Up program, which is open now. But all of these things, you don't have to remember these deadlines. Just come to the conference February 8th, and you can find out more information about all of this stuff. And then organizations, you still have until January 19th to apply for a booth space. And that is also on our website, MinneapolisMN.gov/CCC. And one new thing that I'm happy to announce is that our conference partner, Metro Transit, is offering free bus and train rides to the conference. So you don't have to worry about parking downtown. You can park somewhere where it's free and hop on a bus. You can download your free rides pass from our website. If you scroll down a little bit, it's towards the bottom. It's got a big, big yellow button that says free rides. Click here and fill out a little survey. It's like four questions. It's not a big deal. And you'll get free rides from 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. MinneapolisMN.gov/CCC.
And I think one of the things that we may have forgot to mention, Rebecca, would probably be the opportunity to get up to date on your COVID vaccine.
We are working with our health department to secure some COVID vaccines. And see what we can pull together. We'll put the details on our website once we have it solidified.
Yep, we've been doing that for a couple years. So I'm grateful to our health department to partner on that. Let's see, is there anything else that you like wanted to share about the conference and your past experience?
I could share my favorite part of the conference.
Yeah.
Well, it's been 7 years of these, and each year the conference is getting bigger and more fun, I think. Mm-hmm. I like that we're moving towards a fun. It's not so much a conference. It's turning more into a community gathering.
It is.
It's not even all city that's like presenting. Like, we have community groups teaching us things at this event. Mm-hmm. And we have like city leaders coming. Last year we had the mayor and we had the police chief and a lot of city
the
leaders.
Fire chief and yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you get to see how they dance to the music at the opening ceremony. It's just a good environment and like a low stress way to get to meet like the humans behind the city services. Mm-hmm. My favorite exhibit that has been coming for the past couple of years is actually the seatbelt convincer from the state of Minnesota. They bring a machine where you can feel what it's like to be in a rollover crash.
Low impact. Low impact rollover crash. Ryan, how about you? You've been around the conference for a number of years too.
Yeah, I'd echo what Rebecca said. It's a really fun event. Especially I would say after the pandemic, it's been a really just good place to see people, give some hugs, you know, recognize the folks in community that you haven't seen for a while. And so that networking piece of it, I would say it is a really fun event, but it also for, I think about just the partnership fund, as I mentioned, folks that learned about the conference through getting involved in the partnership fund and have now become exhibitors or have, you know, done workshops. It is a really meaningful way to build, as we all know, relationships are what drive all of our organizing work. And so it's a really good place to just spend a day meeting people, building deeper relationships with people you've already met, learn about the work that's happening across the city. And so those are the things I love. And then I'll just toss in, I really love the like sports activities we've had. Mm-hmm. Everything, you know, we mentioned pickleball, but we've had soccer, we've had the soccer over the volleyball net kind of a game, a wide range of activities that bring out young people and older folks all to play together. And that's also a meaningful way of connecting with one another.
So I've been around for a long time, and I've been at every single one of our community connections conferences. So I'm very aware, like everybody raves about the lunch experience. It's been really an interesting ride to watch how we were pre-pandemic and how the conference had grown and it was just flourishing, and then hit the pandemic and we came back finally and we were in this huge space. And it felt like some people were talking about how it felt a little bit sparse, but then a number of people were like, it was the perfect place to have it. It was spread out just right for them to feel comfortable coming back into a public space. But I think for me, the best part of that conference is the networking, is the seeing people that you haven't seen since last year. It's getting to meet new people, to put faces with names that you've worked with over the year. I think when we first started this conference, it was kind of like, ooh, a city conference, that doesn't sound very fun. Who wants to be a part of the public process? But every single person that I've invited and had come to the conference has had nothing but great things to say about how they appreciated it. It was so much more information.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Thursday's show, we welcome Chris Leonard in a new weekly segment called Headlines with the Press Times. Can't wait.
And Michael Freeman is in from Simple Life Hospitality with an update on the NFL draft and house rentals in Northeast Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. California wildfires. I'm Richard Cantu. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass.
To those who fled their homes, especially those who have lost your homes, our hearts are breaking for you, and we stand with you.
The mayor offering words of support as six separate wildfires erupted across L.A. County. The blaze in Pacific Palisades is the most destructive in modern L.A. history. In Altadena, staff at an assisted living facility scrambled to get their patients out.
With barely any time to escape and the fire closing in, that assisted living facility evacuated. Seniors with oxygen tanks and wheelchairs, some in hospital beds, embers flying around them.
Oh, this is falling. Oh, man, the whole wall just fell down over there.
I was there just hours later. The facility gutted.
ABC's Kana Whitworth, five deaths reported in a wildfire burning in Pasadena. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale.